So, as Vanaraji said, my talk is called Meeting Green Tara, the Savioress from the Eight Great Terrors. So one of the meanings of Tara's name, Tara means to save. So she is the Savioress, the one who ferries across, and she leads across from samsara to nirvana. So how can she lead us from samsara to nirvana? And who is she? So most of you, but maybe not all of you, will know of the mythic story of her birth. So she was born from the tears of the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara. So he is a Bodhisattva of compassion, and he wept at the sight of the suffering of living beings. And those tears came down and they formed a pool, and then they formed a lake. And on that lake, a lotus, a beautiful lotus, grew up, and then sitting on that lotus, Green Tara appears. So she's known as the quintessence of compassion, because she's born from the lake of tears, of Avalokiteshvara's tears. She's a bodhisattva, so she's awakened, and she's totally committed to releasing innumerable beings from samsara. She's green in colour, and her right hand is open on her knee in a gesture of supreme generosity. And her right leg steps down into the world so that she can respond to the cries of the world. Her left hand is in what we call a mudra of fearlessness. And she's basically guarding all beings from fear and terror from the eight great terrors. So she helps deliver beings from those eight great terrors. So Tara became very popular with merchants and with traders, because they had to cross wildernesses and they had to cross the sea. So they felt that faith in Tara would help them to cross jungles and to be safely ferried across the sea, the open sea. So by calling on Tara, you could be freed from fears. And these are the traditional eight great fears. So this won't make much sense at the moment, but it should become clear. So there are the outer fears. So this is like the merchants and traders, that they're fearful of lions, robbers, captivity, shipwreck, fire, snakes. Oh! Lions and demons. I've done something wrong. That's supposed to be elephants. Sorry, elephants. But there are inner fears that are associated with these outer fears. And they are ignorance, wrong views, avarice, attachment, anger, envy, pride, and doubt. So this is what I'll be exploring. And I'll be exploring them in pairs. So, when I was describing Tara, I didn't say what her left leg was doing. And her left leg is in meditation posture. And Tara's compassion is grounded in wisdom. And in a way, that compassion of hers, it's inseparable from wisdom. So her leg in meditation posture is a symbol of her wisdom. So if she is to lead us from samsara to nirvana, She needs to know and to be able to communicate to us the bliss of nirvana, and she needs to be able to skillfully guide us out of the miseries of samsara. So I'm going to start with elephants and robbers. So those mundane fears of the traders crossing bushland or jungle were that they could be trampled on by a herd of elephants or robbed by bandits as they slept under the stars at night. So these fears arose in the darkness. And the inner fears that are related to that darkness are ignorance and wrong views. So Tara can be called on as the savioress in the night. And her mantra could be said to be a play on her name. So it's Om Tare, Tu Tare, Ture, Swaha. But there are levels of meaning in her mantra, if you want to bring them out, when we chant her mantra. So it is said that the Tare can mean deliverance from mundane suffering. And the Tutare is deliverance from conditioned existence. So it's like the transformation from the mundane to the transcendental. And then the Ture is deliverance from any distinction between the mundane and the transcendental. So this means that consciousness that's transcended all dualities, that's gone beyond ego clinging, it can exist in the mundane world. So basically it means that we can transform into bodhisattvas, that there doesn't need to be a distinction between the mundane and the transcendental. So I'm going to explore those first two meanings along with Tara's wisdom. So that W means wisdom, which is basically the antidote to ignorance and wrong views. So we're looking at that little line. So Tara's wisdom will awaken us to right views. So we'll not let her lead us to nirvana if we don't understand why we're leaving samsara. So we must understand the fear of ignorance that controls us. And we must also understand that the wrong views that we cling to them because of fear. But actually, those wrong views are not going to lead us to freedom. So in a very mundane and conceptual way, I could try to convince you and myself of the faults of samsara, why we want to follow Tara and leave samsara. And the Buddha has many teachings, so I'll just mention a few. There's the first noble truth, which is that there's suffering in samsara, so we don't want that suffering. We want to leave that behind. There's the first step on the spiral path that leads to nirvana, and that first step is dissatisfaction. And you see the six realms of conditioned existence on the wheel of life. And there are the three marks of conditioned existence: impermanence, insubstantiality, and suffering. So we're back to suffering again. But we can study this, we can reflect on it, on these teachings. But still, are we actually prepared to loosen our grip on the attractions of conditioned existence, of mundane existence? So are we really ready to let go of samsara and let Tara lead us to Nirvana. So in these fears of the night, we're blind. So we cannot see these teachings clearly because we're clinging on to our old habits of mind and heart. So this is where Tara can come and help. And the way that she helps is through her beauty. And we each need to find a way into connecting with Tara's beauty. And then we'll find her truth. So I actually have to admit that I have had quite a difficulty with Tara's form over time. It hasn't actually been particularly attractive to me because she is a 16-year-old princess. She's stunningly beautiful and she's adorned with jewellery and fine silks. And she has got a very soft and compassionate smile on her face. But something about her form of this 16-year-old princess just hasn't really done it for me. But the way that I have connected to Tara is through her colour, through greenness. And I just want to read you something which Banti has written about colour. So to see the colour, to feel the colour, is very, very important. Because the colour gives one the feel, the inner feeling, if you like, of that particular bodhisattva. And this feel of her, which the colour gives, is something that cannot be put into words. Something that is very subtle and very indefinable. I remember quite a few years ago, someone asked me, I think it was in Kalimpong, what it is that one experiences as a result of doing the meditation practice of Green Tara. What does one experience? This was the question. So on that occasion, I replied that what one experiences is the spiritual equivalent of greenness. One may say that the colour becomes a sort of vehicle for the experience of a spiritual quality, a spiritual state which the colour symbolises. But this sort of thing can be really understood only from one's own practice and experience. And with Tara, that spiritual experience is the very quintessence of tenderness and compassion. So, I am going to put a little bit into words about my experience of the colour green. And that is that it's the colour of nature in all its different and beautiful shades. So green is soothing, it's kind, it's peaceful, it's subtle, it's shiny, and it is rich and deep. It is how nature is in its beauty and blossoming, and in its decay and death. It allows you to relax and be. It's seeing the wisdom of nature. It is true, it's natural, and it's beautiful. And just this morning, actually, I was opening my curtains, and I'm on a ground floor, and I just look out onto green. And I have to say, I woke up in rather a ropey state. But when I opened my curtains and I looked out, I saw there are some daffodils just starting to come up, and I saw that a few of them were just starting to open. So their stems were green and then they were just merging into yellow at the tips, and they were just opening. And it really did just touch my heart, and I felt immediately softer and I felt kinder towards that ropey morning feeling. And I feel that that's a bit like meeting Tara, Tara's colour. So Tara's beautiful appearance, whether we find it through sound or colour or her form, will help to free you from clinging to samsara and to your wrong views and ignorance, and make you want to follow her. Tara will make you see the ugliness and unsatisfactoriness of samsara and unskillfulness. And she'll help you to see the beauty of the spiritual life. So there's a saying, unless beauty is wed with something meaningful, it is always superficial. So with Tara, beauty is wed with her wisdom. So I'm going to now move on to explore the rest of these three pairs in relation to three archetypal levels of Tara, three archetypes. And they are Virgin, Mother, and Queen. So I'm going to start with Tara as Virgin. So we think of virginity as associated with purity. So Tara is ethically spotless. So there's a completely clear conscience. She's at peace. She's completely contented. So this contentment links to another aspect of Tara as virgin or virginity, and that is the aspect of wholeness and completeness. So the archetype of the virgin can be related to wholeness, completeness, contentment. So in a mundane way, we could understand this as saying there's no need for a sexual partner or for a new one or all those distractions in that area. So one is not longing and looking for to make one feel complete. In fact, if there's any longing, it's going to be to develop and to move towards Buddhahood. And I think that solitary retreats are a particularly good opportunity to experience Tara as virgin, because you go away on your own. So you're faced just with yourself. There isn't anybody else to make you feel whole and complete. And you can go away for just a few days, a week, or months, however long you want to do a solitary retreat. And you may well face yourself in this aspect, yourself alone. I've done a lot of solitaries, and often mundane longing of some sort or other comes up during the solitary. But I was very happily surprised on my last solitary, which was 2 weeks, that I experienced contentment. It was quite a relief. And even though I was facing some difficulties on that solitary, I felt totally happy and at peace to be on my own. And it was really making me smile when I went out for my walks, because in terms of the animal world, all around me, they seemed to be in couples. So, there was a pair of swans, and they did everything together. They ate grass together. They swam down the river together, and they did bottoms up together. And there was also a pair of white ducks, and they waddled around together, and they were never more than a few metres apart. But I was alone, and I seemed to be happy in my solitariness. So the two outer fears that relate to this are captivity and shipwreck. And they're associated with the inner fears of avarice and attachment. So avarice. So one's greed and one's wealth and one's possessions can mean that one becomes bound and caged. You're sort of captive of your possessions. One's lost one's freedom. One's fearful of losing wealth or possessions. So you hold on tight. But Tara as virgin is antidote to this. She's just this image of freedom. She'll go into the wilderness in search of ultimate truth and leave things behind, just as the Buddha did. You can't bind her to the limits of mundane existence. And Tara frees from fear and shipwreck. She frees from fear of shipwreck and drowning. And the inner fear associated with this is emotional attachment that becomes neurotic. So water is associated with the emotions, and to drown is to be overwhelmed by them. To love another person, but to cling to them because you feel incomplete, and without them you feel fear. So the fear of the loss of them, the fear of the change, can be like drowning. It's very frightening. If you haven't got a sense of yourself and a wholeness in yourself. So Tara is a heroine because she can stand alone, because she's whole and complete, and she can inspire us to find that wholeness in ourselves, which doesn't mean that we don't have strong, loving relationships on all different levels within our life. It doesn't mean that we don't feel for others. It just means that we're also whole and complete, and she's an inspiration in that. So there's another myth surrounding Tara's origin, which brings out her heroic qualities as virgin. So I'm just going to tell that story. So in beginningless time, there was a princess, and she was called Moon of Wisdom. And she was very, very devoted to the Buddhas. And every day, for millions of years, she made offerings to the Buddhas. And she made offerings to the Sangha. And finally, bodhicitta arose in her. And the bhikkhus at that time, they urged her to pray to be reborn as a man, so that she could develop her bodhisattva career and eventually become a Buddha. But this is what she said and vowed. Here there is no man, there is no woman, no self, no person, and no consciousness. Labelling male and female has no essence, but deceives the evil-minded world. There are many who desire enlightenment in a man's body, but none who work for the benefit of sentient beings in the body of a woman. Therefore, until samsara is empty, I shall work for the benefit of sentient beings in a woman's body. So that is just another mythical story about Tara's origins. So she's gone beyond male and female, self and other. She's totally whole and free. She is pure action for the benefit of others. So now I'm going to move on to Tara as mother, the archetype of the mother. So as I said earlier, Tara is a bodhisattva of compassion. So she's kind, and she's nurturing, and accepting. And she can save you with her unconditional love, because there's no judgment of your pain and your mental despair. No judgment whatsoever. She will just come towards you. And she protects you from the outer fears of fire and snakes, and the inner fears of anger and envy. So there's nothing worse than feeling hatred and jealousy. But Tara will hold you like a mother soothing a child having a tantrum. I first started to make a deeper connection with Tara when I was suffering a lot. So I could call out to her when in distress, or I could chant her mantra. On the same solitary that I was talking about, I experienced one physical setback after another, and I experienced some misery. But I kept picking myself up and continuing with my practice. And I was chanting Tara's mantra a lot, and I was doing Tara pujas. But on one night, on top of feeling ill, I woke from a most terrible nightmare. So I was being nibbled at by a rat. That to me was just the pits. So I just want to say that this has never happened to me before, and I don't want to put you off solitaries. I was just in a state when I woke from that dream. And I started calling out for Tara, doing her mantra. And at first what I experienced was just darkness, was just like an empty void, and there was nothing there. So I called out, and I was saying, "Where are you?" Because she seemed to have come the times before, but there was nothing. So I just kept repeating, "Where are you? Where are you?" And it started to come out like a little child's voice. "Where are you?" So, of course, I was like a child calling for her mother. But the thing was that my mother had died. So I'd kind of gone back in time in this experience. So, of course, my mother couldn't come. And as soon as I connected with that, that loss, it was like Tara appeared. She was very present, and I knew I wasn't alone. And it felt absolutely okay to be with grief and loss and despair. So in meditation, when you have an emotional difficulty, Tara, the quintessence of compassion, is the kindness that allows you to turn towards your emotional difficulty. So that suffering, and to be with it, to turn towards that suffering, to be with that suffering and not react to it, to just be able to be like a mother, holding your own suffering, not rejecting it, being with it. So in my example, it means not rejecting the unhappy child that has lost, but actually being with her. So if we look at the two fears of hatred and jealousy, they can arise as a consequence of loss. So I know about them, and maybe many of you do, from my own experience. And one can have deep fears that become repressed emotions from our early life. Because you're fearful of these emotions. We push them away because maybe we think that they're bad to have them, to have hatred and jealousy. So, but Tara is there as a mother to help you bear these mental states so that you don't react and you don't flee from them with fear, but you can resolve them by experiencing them with sensitivity, intimacy, as if in the arms of compassion. So this is a bit of a verse from Catching the Compassionate Protection of Tara. O my only mother Tara, within me the seeds of virtue are dry and parched. Will you not shower me with the rain of your kindness? The five psychic poisons burn within me. Will you not extinguish them with the water of your love? So yes, Mother Tara will come when you need her. She'll help you to be compassionate towards yourself and your experience, however difficult it is. You just need to call on her. So, next one, Tara as Queen. So Tara has many qualities, and now we see Tara as a leader. So she leads beings from samsara to nirvana. She takes responsibility for saving others. She is spontaneous in her compassionate activity. So Tara is confident, she's poised, she's a queen, and she has a strong desire to overcome all limitations that any limitations that will stop her from fulfilling her potential. Her potential to look after her subjects. And in doing so, she also gives her subjects confidence to fill their potential. So I don't know if I said that very well, but basically, if you want to become a queen, you have to overcome your own limitations for other people in order to lead them. From samsara to nirvana. So we come to lions and demons as the outer fears and pride and doubt as the inner fears. So lions are kings and queens of the jungle. And the inner poison is pride. So pride is a root defilement because it's the basic expression of our ego clinging, is our pride. So we cling to I and we are fearful of letting go of I. So pride can make us feel superior to others. It can make us feel inferior to others. They're both pride, because they separate us from others. There's also the fear of being at one's best. So if you fear being your best, there is pride there. There's also fear of being an individual in a group, if there's pride. So Tara, she's not afraid to be either alone or in a group, because the ego doesn't need to be affirmed or not affirmed. So if we're to lead beings from samsara to nirvana, we need to have put away the centrality of I being the most important. Basically, because as queen, our concern is for all living beings. So if we put away I, our energy will be free to take responsibility and to act compassionately wherever it's needed. So then we come to demons. The fear of demons, and this is associated with doubt. So, again, if we are queen, we'll be totally confident in knowing the faults of samsara, which I talked about at the beginning. We'll be totally confident that enlightenment is a possibility, and that there is a path or a way to unfold, a way that leads from one to the other, and that totally confident that we can do it, and we can do it with others. So one would be totally confident that you could fulfill your own potential, and that others could fill their potential. So you're totally confident in that. So you're actually totally confident in Buddhahood. There's no doubt at all. A queen, Tara as queen, there is no doubt. There's no place for doubt. So, although Tara is the one who ferries across, we mustn't remember the last part of the mantra, which is Ture. That's the last part of her mantra. And it represents the deliverance from the distinction between the mundane and the transcendental. So it means that it's possible for human beings to transform into bodhisattvas. So Tara is earthborn, and she's an archetypal bodhisattva. But Bhante has said that he thought that his teacher, Dada Rinpoche, was a living bodhisattva. He believed that he was a living bodhisattva, that such a thing, such a person exists. He believed it. And we can develop bodhisattva qualities. Maybe at some point we can become bodhisattvas. So I'm going to finish with a poem that expresses some of Tara's qualities, something of what I've said. So this is where I'd actually like everybody just to sort of sit in their meditation posture, because what we're going to do, I'm going to sit down there, is that I'm going to read the poem, and then we're going to move into the Tara Mantra.